Second reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 12 and reading verses 1 through to 13 can be found on page 284 in the New Testament section at the back of the Bibles in the pews. As for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses round us. So then, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way and of the sin which holds on to us so tightly, and let us run with determination the race that lies before us. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross. And he is now seated at the right-hand side of God's throne. Think of what he went through, how he put up with so much hatred from sinners. So do not let yourselves become discouraged and give up, for in your struggle against sin you have not yet had to resist to the point of being killed. Have you forgotten the encouraging words which God speaks to you as his sons and daughters? My child, pay attention when the Lord corrects you, and do not be discouraged when he rebukes you, because the Lord corrects everyone he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as his child. Endure what you suffer as being the Father's punishment. Your suffering shows that God is treating you as his children. Was there ever a child who was not punished by his father? If you are not punished, as all children are, it means you are not real children, but bastards. In the case of our human fathers, they punished us, and we respected them. How much more, then, should we submit to our spiritual father and live? Our human fathers punished us for a short time, as it seemed right to them. But God does it for our own good, so that we may share his holiness. When we are punished, it seems to us at that time something to make us sad, not glad. Later, however, those who have been disciplined by such punishment reap the peaceful reward of a righteous life. Lift up your tired hands, then, and strengthen your trembling knees. Keep walking on straight paths, so that the lame foot may not be disabled, but instead be healed. This is the word of the Lord.
And let's bow our heads to pray for a moment, or to continue in prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before you. We pray that your word would be our teacher, your spirit our guide, and your glory our supreme desire. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you've heard of Fauja Singh. Not sure if I pronounced that right. He's 103 years old, and he got a British Empire medal in the Queen's New Year's Honours list. And he's the world's oldest marathon runner. Here he is last year, I think, running a marathon. Isn't that incredible? And he received his honour for fundraising for Age UK. Now, the next London Marathon is on the 26th of April this year. It's 26 miles long. And anyone running the marathon? Splendid. It's a long race. There's a lot of training needed, building up the body's stamina and that mental strength. And people train and train and train, and then even then, when they run the race, they get to this point, apparently, called the wall, about 22 miles into the race, a long way, where it just seems mentally and physically impossible to continue. And they have to fight through that in order to keep going. One writer, a running writer, says this: "World-class runners approach the marathon with trepidation. Olympians fail to finish. Record holders collapse. This contest has consequences in pain and exhaustion unrivaled in sport, and all the more so because this agony is self-inflicted. The end of the marathon and the end of heroism is always just one step away. You can stop any time you like." Now, some people get the impression that the Christian life is like a cruise in the Caribbean. It's all sunshine and great experiences that you've never had before. But the Bible tells us that the Christian life is actually more like a marathon. More like a marathon. Because the world throws at us a whole load of things that make it difficult to be a Christian. And we keep going in this race until the Lord Jesus returns until we die, whichever comes first. And as we run that race, it's tough because all these things that get thrown at us. And what's going to keep us going in a race like that, a marathon race, when from time to time we hit the wall? What will help us? When you become a Christian, when you turn to Jesus, everything does change because we go from being someone who's an enemy of God and cut off from him, separated from him, because our lives before him are just wrong. And he's a holy God who can't accept us. We go from being an enemy to being a friend, reconciled to God. And because of Jesus, all our sin taken away and forgiven. It's an amazing change. It's something that you don't actually see in yourself physically. You may not even feel it. But God tells us this is what happens. He tells us through his word. So trust in Jesus. We're completely changed. It's amazing. It's amazing how much he loves us that he'd do that. But as we live with that, our bodies still decay, don't they? We still get older and older. And we get ill. Sometimes we break bits of ourselves. And that can push us off course as we worry about that and we feel it. And we have a working life like everyone around us as we trust in Jesus. And the same pressures hit us in our working lives. If you're a City Link driver who trusts in Jesus, you are just as redundant as a City Link driver who doesn't. And we still sin. Yes, we trust in Jesus. We want him to be first in our lives. But our human natures are still there. We're not immune from sin. And that hampers us from running this race. Slows us down. Takes us off on the wrong tracks. And we get distracted, don't we? There's things around us that are interesting. We like to get involved with people that take up energy and time. Good things in our lives, but good things nevertheless that actually just take us off course. What is going to keep us going? Running down that race, that path, running the race with Jesus. We need something so that we don't become discouraged and give up, in the words of verse 3 in our reading. And just like with a marathon race, we need a good running technique as Christians. We need a running technique that's going to help us to face the challenges, to see through them, and to keep running. And this passage is going to help us with that. Remember that writer said, the end of the marathon and the end of heroism is always just one step away. You can stop any time we like. Same as we trust in Jesus, we could always just step off the race and stop. But we don't want to do that, do we? We want to be those who keep going, don't we? 2015 lies ahead of us, and this could be our resolution, that we will be those who keep going with Jesus. How are we going to do it? Well, we're going to see in just the first three verses of this passage, we're going to see some challenges that face us in the long distance race and some techniques that will see us through. And we're going to come and settle on the verse that's in our motto reading. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Or in the version that we've got here, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. Now, this book is written for Christians with a Jewish background when it was originally written. They were in trouble. They were facing opposition from Jewish people who had not become Christians. And it was difficult for them. They were struggling. They were tempted to go back to the old ways and to put Jesus to one side and forget about him. They were tempted to stop believing in grace, which is what Jesus is all about, which is God giving us what we need, is what Jesus has done. They were tempted to give up on grace and go back to works, which is trying to do what we can do and get to God that way. And the writer explains to his readers that Jesus is the Messiah, that he really is the one who fulfills everything in the Old Testament. And so they can trust in him. And we're towards the end of the letter, and he's giving them a final call to keep going, to not give in when things face them that are difficult. So what challenges do we see then in this race? I think you've got a preview of this slide, so you know they are. Three challenges. We can be hindered, we can be entangled, and we can be wearied. Okay? So what are these things? Hindered. We can be hindered. We can have things that just slow us down. In the verse we've got before us, verse 1. So then, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way. In the original Greek, it was, let us lay aside every weight. And you can imagine what it would have been like in those days when they were running a marathon in Greece. They would have laid aside every weight. They would have taken off their clothes, basically, and run with virtually nothing on. Because that means they're unencumbered. They can keep going. They can run more quickly. And think a bit further forward in time to the medieval ages where people would wear armour to fight in. Armour's all very well, isn't it? Steel and metal armour, just when you're fighting with swords in close combat. But if you want to run anywhere, You've got to get rid of your armour to run, because otherwise someone will catch up with you very quickly. And we are hindered by some things in our lives that slow us down. They're good things in themselves, but somehow when it comes to trusting in Christ, they keep us back. Think of Jesus' teaching in Luke's Gospel. There was a time when they were walking on the road and a man said to him, "I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He was pinning something down for this man. He was testing this man. Would he be prepared to give up his home and not to have a home to live in as he followed Jesus? It's not something that Jesus asks of everyone, but for this man it was. Now, what's wrong with a home? Could be a really good thing. But in this man's case, he needed to give that up. Not for everybody, for him it was. Then Jesus said to another man, "Follow me." And the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Now, families are great things, aren't they? And we need to look after our families, honour our parents, care for our children. But in this case, somehow this man's family was going to drag him back. It was going to stop him following Jesus and proclaiming the kingdom of God. Good things that hinder. First challenge is that we can be hindered. What is it for you and me? Are there things in our lives which are good, but just take up too much time away from trusting in Jesus? Maybe they stop us getting to that church prayer meeting. Maybe they stop us reading our Bibles. What are those things that slow us down for Christ? Here's a second challenge. We can be entangled, and we can be entangled by sin. It's in verse 1 again. "So then, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way, and of the sin which holds on to us so tightly, grips around us and tangles us up." Again, imagine a Greek person. This time they're not running in the marathon, but they're wearing those lovely flowing robes that you can see in statues. And imagine them trying to run. They would trip up, wouldn't they? The robes would get tangled around their feet and they'd fall flat on their face. And it's like sin does that with us. It tangles us up so we fall flat on our face before God. Now, forgiveness does free us from sin. But Satan tries to use forgiveness as an excuse, doesn't he? He says to us, "Oh, go on. It's only a little sin, and you'll be forgiven anyway. What's the problem?" Forgiveness is there, but it's a bit like a snake in a game of snake and ladders, isn't it? You get on the snake in snakes and ladders and go whooshing back to a place you were ages before. And our sense of knowing God and our confidence in him is shaken when we sin, rightly. It's not that he's not there. It's not that he doesn't forgive. But our side has been damaged. And we need to rebuild what we've broken down. We need to go back to him on our knees and ask for his forgiveness again, which is there. And we need to build up that friendship with him again. Someone has described our relationship with God as being like a ship. In our relationship, there's a relationship and there's a friendship. And they both end with ship, so they're like ships. So what ships are they like? Well, the relationship with God is like a battleship or a big ocean oil tanker. It can cruise through all kinds of weather. Whatever comes, the storms, the waves can be 80 feet high. It doesn't matter. It just ploughs on, safe and secure. That's our relationship with God. And that's safe and secure like that because it's made by Jesus. This is what grace is. God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. God has done it. Jesus died on the cross. He made that relationship possible. When we trust in him, it's there. The relationship is solid throughout life. But our friendship, what's that like? Our friendship with God is a bit different. That's a bit like a dinghy. A smaller ship. A dinghy, you're out sailing in, a wave comes along, a splosh, you're over, you're capsized. And you get up, you put the boat right, and you sail on again, and some water comes in, and you take the wrong tack, and you capsize again, and you put it up again. And the waves come, and you bob around a bit. And this is what our friendship with God is like, because it's more affected by what we're like, and what we're feeling, what we're thinking, and the sin that's in our lives. We keep breaking that friendship in a way. The relationship is solid, but the friendship bobs around. We're entangled with sin. I wonder how you are entangled by sin. And what can you change in your life for 2015? We're hindered, we're entangled, and we get wearied. We get wearied. Have a look at verse 3. End of verse 3. "Do not let yourselves become discouraged and give up." It simply is a long race as a Christian. And we have to keep going. And sometimes it just gets tough. I don't know if you went out and delivered some of our leaflets at Christmas. Some of you will have a great experience. You'll have delivered leaflets, maybe asked a friend and given a leaflet, and they'll have come. You'll have been at the carol service, and there will be people from your road. Wow. And others of us will have delivered leaflets, and no one would have come. I think, well, was it worth it? Am I just barking up the wrong tree? Does no one else believe this? Am I just being daft? A friend of mine told me how he was out with some workmates and he ordered a non-alcoholic drink in a pub and they fell about laughing at him. I don't know if you listen to the radio on Sunday mornings, Radio 4 Sunday programme. It's always full of stuff that's unbiblical, called anti-Christian almost. Very discouraging listening to it, isn't it? And all this antagonism or indifference, it makes us weary, can make us discouraged. Maybe you're feeling something of that as we enter 2015. It's something that makes it hard for us to run the race. So there are challenges, aren't there, for every believer in this long race. We can be hindered, we can be entangled, we can be wearied. But the writer to the Hebrews gives us something to help. If you're running a marathon, there are techniques to help you get through. And when you're running, there are physical and mental techniques. So there are physical things that you do. You prepare with what you eat over the weeks before in a particular way, with your drinking, so your body's got the right levels of hydration, and what you drink, and when you drink in the race. That's physical. You wear the right clothes and all that kind of thing. Mental, you prepare yourself as you're training for the different barriers that you face and how you think when you approach them. So that when you hit the wall, if you've got your physical and your mental preparation right, it's going to help you to face that challenge. And we have both the physical and the mental side in this passage. The physical side involves throwing things off. Throwing things off. We throw off the things that hinder and the sin that drags us down. Have a look at verse 1 again. Let us rid ourselves, throw off everything that gets in the way. It's a physical illustration, isn't it? The runner chucking off the clothes, the guy in his robes, lifting it up so he can run. It's physical. Let's get rid of the sin. Let's get rid of those hindrances. And this means action, doesn't it? New Year's a great time for action. We make resolutions, and often resolutions are rubbish. But why don't we resolve to put aside those things that hold us back in running this race? Let's pray about it. Ask for God's help. Ask him to be at work in our hearts and minds to help us be transformed. So if we want to keep running with Jesus, the first technique is physical. We need to get rid of the things that slow us down. The second technique is it's in our heads. It's mental. We need to put some things on. We need to take on some new attitudes. Things, way we think. Last year was the 60th anniversary of the 4-minute mile. And there's Roger Bannister. And for most of the race, he didn't run at the front. He had two friends with him, Chris Brasher and Chris Chataway. Brasher is in the front there. And he ran from a long part of the race out and first. Eventually he dropped back. He'd made the pace. And then Chataway took the lead, and it was only in the last 200 yards that Bannister ran out with a sprint and got under the 4-minute mark by just 0.6 of a second. So his two running mates helped Roger Bannister to break that record. And here we've got two running mates. Oh, we've got thousands of running mates, actually. Because the first one starts with a crowd of witnesses. Have a look at this, first one. As for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses round us. In a way, these are people cheering us on, but the fact that there's a large crowd of witnesses, it's not the cheering that counts, it's what they're saying. They're saying to us, we've done this and it works. And if you take a look back at chapter 11, it's a great long list of people throughout the ages in the Old Testament, faithful people who trusted in God, who took God's promises, believed him and kept going. They didn't see the outcome, but they trusted in God. And now they're standing there, as it were, seeing the outcome before the throne of God and saying, it works. It's a crowd of witnesses cheering us on. And we have friends, don't we, who do this for us sometime? People we know who trust in Christ and have been doing that for longer than us. And they encourage us. They encourage us and help us to say, yes, it's worth keeping going. And we can look through that list of amazing people and see that it is worth keeping going. So that's our first running mate. It's the crowd of witnesses. And here's the second, and it's the best. And the most important, our second running mate has given up. So, click. Give up on the screen completely. Our second running mate is Jesus. And Jesus helps us in two brilliant ways. He helps us as an example and through his achievements. Let's have a look at verse 2. And this is where our card comes in. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, or in these Bibles, the one on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. So there was a huge challenge facing him, a war, the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross. And he's now seated at the right-hand side of God's throne. So Jesus is our example, first of all, We see how he was treated. We see his suffering. Everyone was against him. Whatever kind of philosophical or religious or secular position they took, they were against him. There were the Pharisees, the chief priests, the Sadducees, Herod, Pilate, all coming from different angles, all of them against him. The mockery, the abuse, the violence he faced on the way to the cross. But he saw it through. He saw it through because he knew what was coming, the joy that was waiting for him, verse 2. And so he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross. And he's now seated at the right-hand side of God's throne. So he is an example for us as we face difficulties. We can see that Jesus did, and he kept going, so we keep going. But more than that, Jesus has achieved things for us. His achievements make the difference. He is the one on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the first and the last of what we believe. He's the champion, the completer. And he is that because of his death on the cross and the resurrection. He thought nothing of dying on the cross, and he's now seated at the right-hand side of God's throne. Think of what he went through. What Jesus went through means that we are not enemies, but friends, in a relationship with God that is solid and sure and certain. His death and his resurrection, they're both miraculous events, things that achieve incredible things that we couldn't do as just normal human beings. They're both profound. We could spend hours thinking about them and still not plumb the amazing depths of what God has done in them. And they're both cosmic in their scale and their impact on us. Huge. And they achieve for us. Jesus achieves for us so much. This totally new life that we have. And so we fix our eyes on him. Not on those things that hinder, because they may be good things, but none of those things have won for us an eternal life with God. Not on the sin that entangles, because although it may seem nice at the time and might be a good thing like that, but in fact it's fleeting. It damages people. It hurts us. And Jesus is King. We keep our eyes fixed on him. How do we do that? We need to be in touch with him every day, don't we? We need to be reading the Bible, hearing from him. We need to be praying, talking to him. We need to be applying that to our lives in the way we think about the decisions we make. We need to be applying it to how we speak to people. How we make relationships with people. We need to be fixing our eyes on Jesus so that he affects everything about who we are. He's our great example when we face difficulties. He's the one who's achieved all we need for life with God. And this is the mental technique we have. We put this on as we run the marathon of life as disciples. So, are we going to be those who finish the race that's set before us? Mr. Singh was over 100 when he ran his last marathon. How are we going to be going with Christ when we're 100? Maybe we won't get there. Maybe Jesus will return. Or we're going to meet him first. It's a long race, isn't it? But it's a race that Jesus helps us with. We face hindrances, entanglements, weariness. So we need these techniques that he sets before us here. We need to throw off things, the physical side. We need to throw off the hindrances, think what it is in our lives, and be honest with ourselves about those things that slow us down. Talk to someone maybe about the sins that we're having problems with. Ask God for help. We need to throw things off. And we need to put on this mental attitude, this new way of thinking. There's these two running mates, all these people who say, we've done it, it works, it's true. And Jesus, the one who is the beginning and the end of our faith. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on the cross, and he's now seated at the right-hand side of God's throne.